just got eaten out of my seat. I'm going home. First time I preached for Zeno Gross from up in North Carolina, his wife Helen came to me, and they'd been there about 44 years at the time. She said, "Brother Joe, we're glad you're here. Make yourself at home. Just preach up a storm, son. We like it." She said, "But I just want to tell you up front, I can think of 1,000 ways I'd rather die than be preached to death." Say amen. But man, I'm glad to be here tonight. If you love the Lord, say amen. Turn to that person beside you and say, "I'm saved." Turn back around and say, "What's your problem?" Praise God. The Lord is good. The book of Joshua tonight, chapter number four. Joshua chapter number four. If I said something else, I didn't mean that. Joshua chapter number four. Joshua chapter number four and verse number 19. "And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho." Say this with me. "And those 12 stones." And those 12 stones they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, "When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying," say this with me, "what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before you, until ye were passed over," or gone over, "that all of the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye may fear the Lord your God forever." And I'm interested tonight in that little phrase found in the text. It said, "When your children, in time to come, ask you what these stones mean, it is going to give you an opportunity to rehearse in the ears of a generation that did not see the things of God, but they were be reminded that God is great and God is awesome and God is good." And I believe there's a generation that's never seen revival. There's a generation that's never seen the mighty hand of God. But there are people all over this room tonight in your life, you've felt God. You know God. You've experienced God. And there are some stone piles in all of our life that we can point to and tell another generation. When they say, "What means all of this?" I'm glad we have an opportunity to tell our story. And if you're saved tonight, you've got a story to tell. I love to tell the story to those who know it best. They seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. All of us have monuments and memorials in our life that we can point to and be reminded that God has done something in our midst. I heard of an old redneck from Mississippi. He went out to the Grand Canyon. And he walked over there as far as he could go to the edge. And he looked down and said, And someone said, "What do you mean, He said, "Something around here done happened." Well, I'm glad there's some places in our life that we can look back and say, Something around here has done to happen. In my mind's eye tonight, I see an old man. He was there when they crossed the Jordan. He was there when they conquered the Jordan. He was there when they celebrated the Jordan. He is there when they commemorated the Jordan. And he's got up his stone pile. He has set up his 12 stones. And I see him one day as he is sitting there. And he's going down memory's lane, and he's just remembering what God has done. By the way, there's nothing wrong with you and I going down memory's lane. Like Dottie Rambo said, roll back the curtain. A memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. And he's sitting on the stone pile and he's going down memory's lane just remembering what God has done. And in my mind's eye, I see a little fella, a young man. As he walks up to the old man and says, "Sir, these stones that you're sitting on, what means these stones? What does all of that mean, sir?" I see that old man as he looks at that boy and says, "Son, let me tell you what these stones mean." He said, "Number one, these stones mean that God still answers prayer." He said, "Sir, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, son, for 450 years, we were slaves in the land of Egypt. We had no home. We had no future. We didn't have much of a life. All we knew was servitude and bondage in the land of Egypt. But we began to seek the face of God. And we began to call on God. And we began to pray. And one day on the backside of the desert, our friend by the name of Moses was 80 years old, settling down to retirement. And he wasn't looking for God, but God was looking for him. And all of a sudden this bush began to burn. And it burned, and it burned, and it burned. It wasn't a Baptist bush, but it burned, and it burned, and it burned. And Moses turned aside to see why this bush would burn, but not consumed. And when he turned aside to see, God spoke to Moses out of that bush. God said three things to Moses. He said, "I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry, and I know their sorrow." I've got wrote down in my Bible beside of that verse, God sees all, hears all, and knows all about us. God said, "I've seen and I know and I have heard." And then he said this to Moses, "And I am come down to deliver thee." I am come down to deliver thee. Let me say that again. I am come down to deliver thee. I saw a billboard a while back on the interstate. It's supposed to be a message from God. And it says, God said, "Don't make me come down there." I said, "He already been here, praise God. And I am come down to deliver them." And you know the rest of the story. Through the leadership of Moses and the blood of the Lamb, God redeemed them out of the land of Egypt. That stone pile means that God still answers prayer. I bet there's people all over this auditorium tonight. You can point to things in your life. You can point to blessings in your life. You can point to miracles in your life. Man didn't do that. A denomination didn't do that. Some preacher didn't do that. But God stepped out on the scene and He did for you what you couldn't do for yourself. And aren't you glad in 2015, in the midst of a world that says if God doesn't exist and God is not real, aren't you glad God still answers prayer? God answers prayer in the morning. God answers prayer at noon. God answers prayer in the evening. I'm glad there's not a prayer that God cannot answer. He's not dead. He's on the throne. And God still answers prayer. That's what the stones mean. All of us tonight have monuments to the glory of God that when we could not help ourselves, God intervened and answered prayer. I got a friend of mine that before he got right with God, he went to a very, very liberal college. I can't imagine anybody having a college trying to teach young men the Word of God, making them doubt the Word of God and not increasing their faith in the Word of God. Amen. Trying to doubt the deity of Christ instead of making much of Jesus Christ. Said he was sitting in that class and that professor said, "I just believe this." You know, Calvinists, bless their heart, they believe what will be and it never happens. Amen. He said God is sovereign and God has got everything planned out, so prayer is a waste of time. You're not going to change the heart of God. You're not going to change the mind of God. So, fellas, I'm just telling you, prayer is a waste of time. Now, just forget all of that praying and all that. Matthew 6:33, that's for the Jews. And let me say this. All the Bible may not be written to me, but it's all written for me. And he said, I sat there and heard that till I about had a stroke. And finally, the professor saw me turning red around the goozle. He said, young man, do you have a problem? He said, no, sir, I don't have a problem, but I do have a question. He said, what is it? He said, sir, I'm from the mountains of North Carolina. He said, my mom and daddy are so poor, they spell it with 6 zeros between the P and the R. He said, sir, I'm so poor that my daddy goes out at Christmas time and shoots the shotgun in the air and tells us kids Santa Claus committed suicide and there's nothing going to be. He said, sir, we are so poor that when we go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, we have to lick somebody else's fingers. Say amen. He said, son, what is your problem? He said, sir, I'm telling you, I'm poor, my daddy's poor, and my mama, we come from a poor family. And he said, sir, there's been many nights that it came supper time and there was nothing to eat in our house. And my little mama would go behind the shed and she'd spend a little time with God. And in a few minutes she'd be coming back with tears falling down her eyes, clapping her hands, singing, I just heard from heaven and it's all right now. And he said, about that time a car would pull up in the driveway and that'd be groceries and that'd be something to eat. He said, young man, what is your question? He said, this is my question. If God is not real, and if prayer is a waste of time, who's been putting biscuits on the table and food on the table after mama prays? I've come to tell you, don't swallow the Kool-Aid. God is still great, and God is still awesome, and God is still good. That's what the songs mean, that God answers prayer. His ear is not heavy. His hand is not short. I'm glad to report to you tonight, call on Him. He answers prayer, always will. Thank God He answers prayer, even in the midst of difficult times. That's what these songs mean. Son, we didn't buy our way out of Egypt. We prayed our way out of Egypt. We didn't go through the 3-step plan to get the chains broke. We prayed and God answered prayer. There's people sitting in this room tonight, you're saved because somebody touched heaven for you. Some little mama prayed. Some church house prayed. There's been boys that got back from the battlefield because somebody prayed. There's been fevered brows conquered because somebody prayed. I mean, there's been bodies that's been healed because somebody prayed. Broken families got mended because somebody prayed. Holy Ghost revival broke out because somebody prayed. I'm glad tonight when Jesus went behind the veil and rent it in twain, He tells you and I to come boldly to the throne of grace. I'm glad I can march to that throne and in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. You say, Brother Joe, that name Jesus makes me nervous. Good. Jesus. 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 I'm not impressed when a politician prays and says, in thy name. I'm not really impressed when a politician prays and says, Father up above. But if you want to get my attention, pray like this. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name, aren't you glad in 2015 He still answers prayer? He's on the throne. He's still alive. And I'm glad I've got me a stone pile to remind the next generation that God still answers prayer. I see that little boy say, wow, sir, is that all? I see the old man as he said, oh no, we've only just begun. Well, sir,
What else do the stones mean? I believe the old man would say, son, number two, those stones means that God saves by the blood of the Lamb. What do you mean, sir? Well, son, I told you, for 450 plus years, we were in bondage, in servitude, bitter bondage in the land of Egypt. One day, Brother Moses went before God, and God devised the plans. And God said, Moses, get a lamb. Now, not just any kind of lamb, but a selected lamb, a special lamb, a sinless lamb, a sacrificial lamb, a substitutional lamb, a spotless lamb, a sheltering lamb, a saving lamb, a sprinkled lamb, a special lamb, a supernatural lamb, a sweet lamb, a shown up lamb. Get you a lamb and put him up and kill him on the 14th day. And then put his blood in a bowl and go out in the wilderness and pick you one of the little prickly hyssop brushes and stick that brush in that bowl of blood and go up out of the house where you are and not on the roof and not on the porch and not on the window and not on the side but on the door. Make sure you put that blood on the door, on the top and both sides, on the top and both sides. You're going to get that in a minute. On the top and both sides. Put that blood on the top and both sides. Because at midnight, I'm a coming through. And when I come through in the midnight hour, I'm not looking for who's got the prettiest garments. I'm not looking for who's got a long list of religious credentials. I'm not looking for somebody that's got the lamb tied up in the backyard or even the lamb nailed to the side of the house. When I pass through at midnight, I'm looking for one thing. I'm looking for that blood of that lamb on the top and both sides. On the top and both sides. On the top and both sides. You say, Brother Joe, why do you think he sat on the door? Because a couple of thousand years are going to roll by and Jesus is going to yell in John chapter number 10, I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Well, about that time the clock struck midnight and a darkness engulfed Egypt so thick that it could be felt. And boy, old man Death comes walking in the town. And he goes to the palace. And he goes to the pig pen. He goes to the shelter. And he goes to the stall. He goes down Main Street. And even goes down the back alleys. And the screams and the stench and the smell of death is in the air. But over yonder, on the back side, some little black huts. Something red was shimmering in the night. And it was the blood of that lamb. And oh, what a difference the blood made. For on the outside there was weeping and wailing. But on the inside there was singing and shouting. On the outside there was starvation. But on the inside a table was spread. On the outside there was doom and despair. But on the inside deliverance was about to come. On the outside there was darkness. But on the inside a light was shining. Whoop! On the outside, they admit they're in. But on the inside, they're about to take a trip. And the only difference between the inside and the outside is the blood of that lamb. Thank God I'm glad to tell you tonight, I've been washed in the blood of the lamb. The sweet lamb of God. The sacrificial lamb of God. The substitutional lamb of God. The sinless lamb of God. The special lamb of God. The saving lamb of God. The satisfying lamb of God. The shown up lamb of God. He saves by the blood. It's not by the water. It's not by the wafer. And it's not by words. But it's by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's still the blood. It's still the blood. And it always will be the blood. He saves by the blood of the Lamb. I'm about to enjoy my own preaching right there. Well, the preacher got to talking about it. The night that God set him free. And every one of us was like the Israelites who were in bondage. Lost and undone with that daughter or his son. I grew up in a preacher's home. an old-fashioned leather lung, five-row spitting preacher's home. My daddy was a Baptist preacher. My mama was Pentecostal. I mean full-fledged Pentecostal. Nothing off the limits. She's been a Baptist for over 65 years, and she'll get it. She'll still shake that head on you like that, boy. Son, if they ever start that, they never finish. And on that subject, let me say this. I never saw in a pair of shorts so short that she showed everything she had, and a stinking cigarette hanging on the side of her mouth and a beer can in her head. And I'd rather have a little mama that shakes a little bit and puts some God in me than to have somebody say amen right there. Boy, I'd get, turn me over a new leaf every revival. Somebody said, did you live right before you got saved? I sure did. He said, why'd you live right before you got saved? You had a fear of God? No, I had a fear of Dad. We didn't get spankings. My daddy didn't know what timeout was. We got whoopings. You say, oh, Dr. Arthur, what's the difference between a spanking and a whooping? If you got to ask that, you ain't never had none. Oh, I turn on me a new leaf. Hey, revival, I turn over a new leaf. And I found out when I turned over that new leaf, that side I turned over was just as filthy and low down and rotten as the other side. But from that Thursday night in 1979 in Reedsville, North Carolina, hallelujah, when I knelt, the blood fell and I got redeemed and set free by the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When education and legislation and sanitation don't work, when psychology don't work, when government programs don't work, when religion don't work, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ can set an old sinner free. That's what these stones, I just wonder, if there's anybody in this room tonight, you saved and you know it and you're glad about it. Well, your life is a testimony that God's by the blood of the Lamb. That's what these stones mean. God saves by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I see that little fellow. He's an old Google-eyed. He said, sir, is there something else? He says, yeah, boy. Number three, these stones mean that God separates the waters of despair. What do you mean by that, sir? He said, son, it means he'll make a way when there is no way. What do you mean, sir? He said, well, son, we're on our journey, our blood-redeemed journey. We're on our way to the promised land. We came to the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was in front. The Meridian Desert on one side, and the mountains of Paran on the other side. And son, to our horror, we looked in the back. And here come creeping up behind us. Our past. He said we were out of it, but God had to beat it out of us. How about that? Our past was on our trail. And son, we was between a rock and a hard place. We couldn't go that way, and we couldn't go that way, and we couldn't go that way, and we didn't ought to have been that way. There wasn't no good that way. He said, what'd you do, sir? He said, well, son, when we couldn't go that way, and couldn't go that way, and couldn't go that way, and didn't want to go that way. That was the God that way. That came this way. And He made a way, and we kept going that way. Oh, sir, how did it happen? Son, you never seen nothing like it. All of a sudden, this angel comes out of the glory world. And he gets between the Israelites and the Egyptians. And he directs traffic. God with a blast, according to Exodus 15, the song of Moses. And with a blast of His nostrils, He congealed the waters. That's King James, Exodus 15. With a blast of His nostrils, He congealed the waters. What in the world is congealed? It's when a grainy, watery substance comes into contact with a blast of cold air. It's known in the form of jello. You take that powder, put it in that water, put it in the fridge, and it's congealed. My papa called it nervous pudding. God, with a blast of his nostrils, stirred up that dust, mixed it with that water, and that cool blast from God turned a big Red Sea and a bigger bowl of jello. Amen on each side. And the Bible said they marched over on dry ground. That angel stood there and directed the traffic, and the Bible said the water stayed apart. Listen to this. And they were all got out on the other side. I see the first bunch as they get out. Another bunch ain't even got started. But I see them waving. Come on in. The water's fine. It's going to be all right. He'll make a way. And God, the Bible said the water stayed parted all night. Till the very last one got out on the other side. I see some of the boys in the back. Six of them. They got a big old box on their shoulder. And one of them said, hey, what's that? One of them said, that's Paul Jones' bones. God is so intent on sweeping the remembrance of his people out of this godforsaken place, he's even bringing the dead people out. And then they stepped over on dry ground. You say, preacher, that was then. What about now? I got a verse for you that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm here to tell you, he's still a maker way. And there is no way. He, because he is the way and the truth and the life. That's what these souls mean. Boy, Pharaoh's standing there chomping at the bits. He looks at that crowd and says, you know, if them bunch of Semites, if them bunch of Jews can do that, surely we can too. And about that time, that angel says, come on in. The water's fine. And God uncongealed them waters. That cloud moved, and that hot sun bore down on them waters. It reversed the process, and the waters came tumbling down, and the walls came tumbling down. And watch this, Israel stood on the other side of the sunny banks of sweet deliverance, and watch God annihilate their past. It's buried in the depths of the sea. They'll have some more enemies, but God took care of that one. I've come to tell somebody tonight, you can't go that way, you can't go that way, you can't go that way, and the devil's on your trail. You don't know where to turn or look. Can I tell you, there's a God that way that'll come this way, and he'll make a way, and you can keep on going that way. That's what the songs mean. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're on the winning side. That's what the stones mean. Boy, I see that boy. He said, would there happen to be something else? That old man said, yeah, listen to this. These stones mean that God supplied our every need. He said, son, that same God that got us out of Egypt, that same God that made a way when there was no way, that same God that stopped our enemies. You know what he did? He set a table in the wilderness. Son, when we got thirsty, he gave us water out of the rock. Now, son, about that rock, it wasn't just any kind of rock. It was a walking rock. It was a following rock. It was even a talking rock. Because it was a smitten rock. Everywhere we went, that rock was right there. And every time we'd go to the rock, whoop, we'd get the same results. Hallelujah. Woo, I enjoyed that point. And the water came out of that rock. And then, son, we'd get hungry. And God would just give us quail. And they weren't even, you know, natural to that environment. I don't know where God got them from. He just blew them in from somewhere. And man, we had to quail. And then, son, God knows how we are. Everybody's got to have some bread and some dessert. And later on, son, thousands of years from now, they call them Krispy Kreme. But we called them in the wilderness, manna. Oh, that had to be a forerunner of Krispy Kreme. Because the Bible commentator said they were round. They were like bread. And it was sweet. Yankees like Dunkin', Southerners like Krispy Kreme. You say, what is the difference? You ain't never had one if you have to ask that. Boy, you go by that Krispy Kreme place, it's not tempting until that little red sign is on. Hot now. Hot now. Let me tell you what that little hot now sign means in Greek. That means it's the perfect will of God from the foundation of the world to pull your coin. My buddy, Brother Aaron Wilburn. I love Aaron. He ain't got a brain one, but I love him. He said him and his wife, Roberta, were going down to Nashville the other day. And they said when they got to that Krispy Kreme, he said, look, we're not going to even stop unless that light is on. She said, Aaron, that's not enough to keep you from it. He said, all right, we're going to go another step farther. Unless there's a parking place right in front of the door, we're not going to stop. He said, so kind of nervously, we pulled up to the place. And he said, sure enough, the light was shining. And he said, Joe, after I circled that baby 7 times, that was a place right up the front door. Woo! He said, son, we had water out of a rock. We had quail. We had manna. And then, son, he even gave us some honey out of the rock. He said, not only that, we had some shoes and they didn't wear out for 40 years. Man, how many of you husbands would love to buy your darling one pair of shoes for 40 years? Me and my little damsel got in an argument the other day. I went to her closet. I said, you have too many shoes. You got a shoe for this and a shoe for that and a shoe for that. She said, if you don't shut up, I got a shoe for you. I said, but wait a minute, baby. You can't wear but one pair at a time. She said, you can't shoot but one gun at a time. I said, not the same thing, not the same thing, not the same thing. Brother, can you imagine going 40 years and never have to take her to Walmart? I got a man in my church told his wife the other day, he said, baby, bury me at Walmart. She said, why? He said, because if you bury me at Walmart, you'll come to see me 4 days a week. Say amen right there. Can you imagine having clothes and shoes that never wears out? You say, where does them kind of garments come from? Bless God, from the same one that answers prayer. And the same one that separates the waters. And the same one that saved our soul. Can I tell you tonight? Don't be afraid to serve God. He'll set a table in the wilderness. He'll feed you by the ravens. He'll put bread on the table. Food in your stomach. Clothes on your back. Can I quote you a good verse of scripture tonight? But my God shall supply all of your needs. He said, God that will not fail. That's what the song means. He supplies our every need. Oh, Brother Joe, I'd go out there for God. But I got a family. And I got bills to pay. And I got obligations. And I tell you, God knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows you've got bills. He knows you have a family. He knows you have obligations, but He knows something else. There's a fish out there. You ain't caught yet. That's got some money in his mouth. You don't know it, but he knows it. There's a little widow woman down in Zarephath. Get ready to put some grub on your table. You don't know it, but he does. There's still oil in the cruise. There's still meal in the barrel. I gotta go here. He knows something else too. When you're going up on one side of the mountain, hallelujah, he's coming up on the other side of the mountain. What are you saying, preacher? He'll supply your needs. He'll exalt your valley. He'll lower your sky. He'll put the angels on half rations to meet your needs and mine. You don't have a need bigger than God, a problem bigger than God. He supplies all of our needs. That's what the stones mean. And I see that little boy as he said, sir, would there happen to be one more? And I see that old man as he said, in fact, yeah, there is one more, son. Like, I mean, how can it get better than that? And the old man said, let me tell you what it means most of all, son. He said, these stones mean God will stand by His children in the darkest hours of their life. He said, what do you mean by that, sir? He said, well, I mean, son, even when you come down to cross the river, when you come down to the end of your journey, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find the same God that stood with you in the good time. He'll be there in the bad time. What do you mean, sir? I said, the old man, he just said, well, remember our friend Moses, our emancipator, our deliverer. Said he lived to be a ripe old age. Said he came down to the end of the journey. Listen to this, boy. His eyes were not dim. His natural forces were not abated. In other words, he wasn't sick. Now, I hear these nuts on the radio saying that if you're sick, you're out of the will of God. Well, there's a whole lot of people out of the will of God. If you're saved and right with God, you'll have plenty of money. I know he lied right there. Telling you, I don't know what all them apostles was, but I know what Peter and James and John was. They Baptists, because they said, silver and gold have I none. Most of my friends don't even have $64, much less a $64 million jet. Can I get a witness right there? He said, I'm being nice. He said, he came down to die, and he wasn't sick. I asked a fellow one time, I said, if you're sick, that means you're out of the will of God. How are you going to die if you don't get sick? He said, your heart will just quit beating. I said, that's called heart failure. That's sick. Can I lay something real deep on you? If you die tonight, something happened to you. And I've always been puzzled. How in the world did Moses die and he wasn't sick? I don't know. I remember one time I saw a little boy. I asked Mays Jackson. I thought if Brother Mays didn't know, didn't nobody know. So I asked him, I said, Brother Mays, how did Moses die? He wasn't sick. He was in perfect health. How did he die? He said, well, Joe, here's what I think happened. He said, I think God took him on top of Mount Nebo and smothered him to death with Holy Ghost kisses. I like that. That may not even be true, but I like that. God smothered him to death with Holy Ghost kisses. Boy, I got to thinking about the other day. I was studying this, and I got to thinking about it. Boy, God spoke to my heart. And I just got to share it with you. I preached all night to get to this one thing. How did Moses die? You remember over there when Moses come down off that mountain? And they were worshiping that golden calf. Acted like a bunch of morons. Moses got mad and took them commandments and threw them in the ground. Lost his temper. You sure you ain't supposed to lose your temper where Moses did? How you going to be married to a woman and not lose your temper? How you going to pastor a Baptist church of any kind? Independent, Southern, free will, no will, or bad will? I'm telling you, you pastor Baptist, you going to lose your coon. Threw them commandments in the ground, disgusted, not ready to give up. But God walked up there and said, hey buddy, what do you need? And Moses said, God, show me your glory. He said, you can't handle it. Come on, God, show me your glory. He said, you can't handle it. Because nobody can see my face, which is the epitome of glory. And live. He said, tell you what I will do. I'll hide you. Whoop! In the cliff of that rock. And I'll cover you with my hand. Can't see my face. But I'll just kind of glide by. And the word hind is an interesting word. It's the same word in Isaiah 6 and his train filled the temple. It's literally the afterglow. Blip. If you were to start at that light tonight and somebody cut it out, the last little is called the train, the afterglow, the blimp. He said, son, you can't see me, and on the fullness you can't take it. But I tell you what I will do. I'll pass by and blip you just a little. So God put him in the cleft of the rock, covered with his hand, and God went by and went, blip. You said that wasn't a whole lot. It was enough to light him up. He come off of that mountain so full of glory of God, he had to put a veil over his face and he just got blipped. Woo! Boy, that day God saved you, you got blipped. That day God answered your prayer, you got blipped. Boy, that night God supplied your need, you got blipped. Oh, but Moses, he's about to get more than a glimpse. He's about to get a gaze. Glory, clear me off a piece of ground right there. Here's how I believe Moses died. God took him on that mountain. Wasn't nobody up there but him and God. Wasn't anybody up there but him and God. They ain't even found his body yet. He got blipped right out of here. Say amen right there. Ain't nobody up there but him and God. God's up there talking to Moses, and I believe he said something like this. Hey, son. You remember that time you said you want to see me? And I told you that you can't see my face and live? Well, you don't have to live anymore. Because you prayed your last prayer. You carried your last burden. You fought your last storm. So, you said you wanted to see me? Okay, here I am. And God took down the veil. And Moses saw his face. You said it didn't happen like that. You don't know. You wasn't there. I know one thing Jesus said. He said, now come a day, and you won't see me anymore. He said, oh man, but in a little while, you will see me again. And I'm glad standing somewhere in the shadows, he'll be there, and we'll see it, and we'll go home. And that's what those stones mean. I believe as a little boy walked away, I believe he said something like this. Oh my, what a God. Woo! Oh my! I'd like to know a God like that. I believe the old man put his arm around him and said, son, you can. Just call on his name, son. And it is no secret what God can do. I'll tell you tonight, if you're in this room and you've got a story to tell, our nation needs to hear it. Because there's a generation that ain't even heard about how great God is. Much less seen Him for themselves. So tonight, let's point to the things in our life. Say, God did that one. God supplied that one. God met that one. And look at the next generation and say, what God's done for me, He can do for you. Because I'm glad tonight I got a story to tell. And I'm glad I got a stone pile to point to. Let's dedicate ourselves to leave this meeting and go tell the world how great God is. We're standing together. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the blood. We thank You, Lord, that old-time religion is still alive and well. We thank You, Lord, for a group of people that are interested in getting beyond religion and finding God in these dark days. Thank You for the stones in our life that remind us of how good and great God is. And Lord, help us to tell our children and our children's children and the next generation that what God has done for us, He'll do for them. Sanctify these moments in our heart, and we'll give You praise and we'll give You glory. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.